This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Not only does Tom Brady have a sixth Super Bowl ring, but he's also a candidate for the After Hours Hall of Fame. I'm not sure which one is a greater honor, but it could be a toss-up. Coin flip, maybe? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Good Friday morning to you. If you're up and awake on your Friday, we're happy to keep you company. I guess the earlier start you get, especially if you're in the Eastern time zone right now where it's 4 a.m. or you're in the Central time zone where it's 3 a.m., the earlier start you get to your Friday, the quicker the weekend gets here. We know because we start at 11 o'clock Pacific on Thursday night to usher in the weekend. So you're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and some of you are responding to this Colin Kaepernick conversation, which I think is fascinating. And I've said this for years now, going back to his last season in the NFL when he was choosing to kneel during the national anthem and when the controversy was at its height. There are a lot of reasons, and they're not uniform across the NFL for every team. There are 32 different teams. There are 32 owners and general managers and different head coaches, which obviously change all the time. You can't put one reason, one blanket reason that spreads all over the NFL for why Kaepernick is not working. So I do not agree that it's simple as all 32 teams are blackballing him. There are a lot of other reasons, and some may weigh more strongly, some may weigh more heavily than others with one team over another one. But there's a whole group of reasons why, and it's gotten more complicated and more convoluted the longer that he's been out of the league. And now that we hear from the Associated Press that he was offered a spot in the AAF, but chose not to play because there's no way that fledgling league could have paid him $20 million. And why would you? Why would you pay one guy $20 million? That blows your business model to smithereens. So he essentially priced himself out because there was no way they were going to pay him that kind of money. And only him, not everybody else in the AAF. It's not even a consideration. So the fact that he made it impossible for the AAF to bring him on board tells me that football's not his top priority anymore. And some of you have some interesting theories why. So you're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, you can weigh in there as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And if you've already heard the audio for our latest Hall of Fame induction, awesome. You can cast your vote. And then we'll play those audio samples. You'll hear from the candidates again coming up next hour, just in case you need a refresher or you're just joining us. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We've got to get an update on Dave's Valentine's Day dinner coming up. And also, my poor zoo had a really traumatic day on Thursday. So I do love them, the things we do for love. I don't know that I would like to do that every single day or even every single Thursday. It was kind of a messy day. But thankfully, we got everybody back home safely. So it's a mixed bag for Valentine's Day. I hope that you enjoyed yours. The crux of it is supposed to be sweet and love and happy and joy, right? And we find those in all kinds of places. So for me, it was trying to make sure my zoo was taken care of. Though my mom, as she always does, sent me a gift card. My mom's awesome. All right, so we'll do that coming up. And what else are we going to do? There was the Major League Baseball, too. So with all of the spring training commencing and all of the pitchers and catchers and managers reporting and everybody getting to their various locales in Arizona and Florida. Well, you've got more and more figures inside baseball available to speak out. And so the crisis that the players and the managers see with some of these free agents who do not have homes, it's reaching a fever pitch. So I want you to hear some of the latest from both the Cactus and the Grapefruit League. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, right? So some of your reaction to the Colin Kaepernick revelation from the Associated Press. Don says Kaepernick asked for $20 million because he has no intention of ever playing football again in the NFL or any league because it's not in his best interest to ever play again. It wouldn't fit his narrative of being blackballed if he played. That's interesting. I actually hadn't thought about that until Don brought it up. And some others of you have, in fact, said the same thing. That if he goes and he plays football again, even though the AAF is not associated with the NFL, I don't know. Would he could still move forward with his collusion case, his lawsuit against the NFL, because they're completely separate. But would it weaken his claim that football is blackballing him? I don't know. That's something that I'd have to consider. But Don makes that point on Twitter. Let's see. Luke says, stats say, I mean, I don't know which stats you're referring to. I guess going back to 2016 and before that. Stats say roughly Cap is in the ballpark of $17 million per year. He has to ask. Okay, but that's the NFL, not the AAF. And I'm not sure what stats you're using. Are you going back to 2016 where he only started half the year and the Niners were terrible? But Luke goes on to say, imagine going to court and judge wonders why you lowballed yourself. If Flacco can pull huge money still. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're making a comparison that, in my opinion, is not there. Because the AAF is not the NFL. They're not associated. It's not a feeder league. It's not a minor league. There's none of the NFL money in the AAF. It's got the support of the NFL in one way, absolutely one way, and that's games being on the NFL Network. And I'm pretty confident that they're probably not free. So that's one way that the NFL is associated with it. There is no other way. So what a quarterback is worth, and it's interesting that you say Flacco, because Flacco was in that same Super Bowl that Colin Kaepernick was in. Remember the Super Bowl where the lights went out in New Orleans and the 49ers had a bit of a push, but the Ravens held them off and won. That was the Joe Flacco Super Bowl MVP year. But Flacco and his worth in the NFL for a team that is looking for a different type of starting quarterback, theoretically, than what they've got in Denver, what does that have to do with what Kaepernick is worth in the AAF? A league that has a handful of players who've got any NFL experience and who set the salaries for a reason so that they can try to make this business model sustainable. Let's see. It's another tweet. Do you know how much the Nike deal Kaepernick got? It's worth around $22 million to sit around. Why would he abuse his body for $70,000? And then same tweet. I don't think he wants to play unless the money is worth it because he's getting paid to sit around. He has the dream job right now. No, he doesn't. If he wants to play football, sitting around is not the dream job. I mean, if your job that you desire is to go back and play in the NFL or to play pro football again, and maybe it's not any pro football, maybe it's only the NFL, but at the very least getting reps under your belt, getting an opportunity to get out there on a field and play again and prove to people that you can still be a viable starting QB, that's something entirely different. I'm sure there are a lot of Americans out there that think it'd be really cool to make $22 million for doing a commercial and then not have to work again for years. I mean, that's why people play the lottery, because they want to be able to win a bunch of money and then not have to work. So that might be your dream job. But if what Colin Kaepernick wants is to play football, then sitting around is not actually his dream come true. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jeremiah says, wouldn't Kaepernick playing in the new league and playing well help his lawsuit against the NFL? And on the flip side, him not playing well make the case for the owners? Well, I don't know what case the owners have. I mean, the owners are just attempting to fight back and say, we didn't collude together to keep Kaepernick out of the league. They're allowed to make business decisions on their own. They're just, collusion is if they came together and said, let's keep him out of the league. He has to be able to prove that. But I do like that point from Jeremiah, though. If he played well in the new league and still didn't get a job in the NFL, would that help his lawsuit against the league? There's a viable piece potentially viable piece of evidence there, right? If you go back and you play great football. Now, you may not agree with me, and that's fine. But a guy who hasn't played in the NFL since 2016 is going to have some questions. And again, Kaepernick's career was a roller coaster ride. Do you guys not remember what kind of a quarterback he was when he was in the league? He was brilliant at times on the really difficult play. So this is how I used to describe Kaepernick when he played. Long before the national anthem choices that he made and the kneeling and the various, everything that followed after that. Okay, you all know what happened after that. I don't need to go into it. Before Kaepernick started that, he was a roller coaster ride at quarterback. I would describe him this way. He made the really difficult plays look easy. He made the simple stuff look extremely difficult. There were times when he couldn't read defenses, when he couldn't make the simple throws, and yet you put him in a pressure cooker, the guy would scramble and chuck the ball downfield. He was wild. At times, he was really inconsistent. And at times, you didn't know what you'd get from him. And so, the fact that he hasn't played since 2016, you can tell me you don't think it's a big deal? But I disagree with you. Because the NFL comes at you fast. Everybody wants next big thing. Younger, more athletic. New age kind of a thing that the NFL is constantly turning and changing and morphing and growing. While he may be working out, it's entirely different than playing football. Not everybody's an Adrian Peterson, meaning a freak of nature. There are times when if you're out of the game, teams are not going to give you a look because they feel like somebody else who's been involved and has stayed in the game would be a better option. Have you ever heard the phrase, it's easier to find a job when you have a job? I mean, that's a principle in my own business. I've been told that by so many people. Don't quit a job until you have a job, and not just because of the money. You don't quit a job and take yourself off of the stage. Essentially, silence your microphone. You don't take yourself off of the radio or TV because that's how you can continue to get attention and continue to show what you are capable of. If you quit a job, where's your platform? It's a lot harder to attract attention and to let people know that you would be a quality employee, an upgrade to whatever they have, if no one hears you. Or in the case of Kaepernick, if no one's watching you play. You can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page, vote for the latest After Hours Hall of Fame induction. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. And in addition to the AAF, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, the PGA Tour on CBS wraps up its West Coast swing at Riviera Country Club. They're coming off a great tournament at Pebble Beach, and Phil Mickelson won there. He joins the world's best, including Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, defending champ Bubba Watson, and of course Tiger Woods, who didn't even get to tee off his opening round on Thursday. They had a lot of bad weather at the Genesis Open, so they're going to cram a bunch of golf into Friday, and then we'll see if they get it all done before moving day on Saturday. It's all this weekend on CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Singletary's defense has done a nice job.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for tuning in. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. In 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Just head to geico.com. You're blowing up my Twitter now, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, though I haven't looked over at Facebook in a minute, but it's named after the show, so you can find us there as well. The AAF will mark its second weekend as a fledgling football league, coming up Saturday and Sunday with four games, two each day. Ben Holden, Adam Archuleta on CBS Sports Network, and you'll find another AAF game on CBS Sports Network, as well as a pair on NFL Network and one on TNT. And the word from the Associated Press is that Colin Kaepernick wanted at least $20 million to play in the AAF, which even if Bill Polian and Charlie Ebersol wanted him to play that badly, let's just say, for no other reason than they know it'll bring millions of extra eyeballs to the broadcast of the field, and it absolutely will. I'll give you that. 100% it would not only boost the intrigue and the interest in the league, but you would see more fans show up at games. You would also see more people tune in because they want to know. I want to know if Colin Kaepernick can still play at the level of an NFL QB. That, to me, would be the number one reason you would tune in. But that doesn't equate to $20 million. And the AAF can't sustain that. As a business model, they can't do it. Not to mention it's just poor business practice to be paying one guy $20 million when the rest of your athletes are on contracts of 3 years, $250,000. So he priced himself out. Why $20 million? I don't know. Why not $10 million? Maybe $5 million? But $20 million is what he was asking for, according to the Associated Press. And so there's no way the AAF could even entertain that number or that idea. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dre is listening in Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, what's up, Amy? Long time listener. I've actually called a few times before.
Cool.
This is personally how I feel about the Kaepernick situation. I think it's a combination of collusion and a combination of bad decision by him. Because I say this, the reason I think it's collusion, I look at how the Redskins signed Josh Johnson. This guy had not played in the NFL since 2011. And then Nathan Peterman. I mean, you know how pitiful Nathan Peterman is. I can't believe some of these quarterbacks that they have signed and have given a chance but won't give Kaepernick a chance. Now, I think it's bad on his behalf what he's doing as far as, like, ask for $20 million because I think if he plays and plays well, like the other guy tweeted, that would give him a legit case because, okay, if he plays well, okay, so why is the NFL not signing him? Mm. But him not playing at all, that's hurting his whole case.
You know, I kind of wonder if this is, and this is a question that I do not have an answer for, but it's just rhetorical. If what he wanted from the AAF was at least $20 million, what would he want to go back to the NFL?
Yeah.
Where they actually do pay quarterbacks upwards of $30 million.
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, Amy, and I just wanted to throw one thing in. I am sick and tired of the Anthony Davis situation. I'm sick and tired of LeBron. I'm tired of the NBA period, man. I'm tired of all these players. Nobody wants to compete. It's a watered-down league, watered-down stats, man. I wish it went back to the days of the 80s and 90s when basketball was real, actually competitive, and people competed for championships instead of playing this little sissified buddy ball trying to help each other win.
Yeah, no, the whole play with your BFF thing is not my favorite either.
I hate that. I'm like, man, you know, and LeBron, and for all these fans who say LeBron is the GOAT, you need to quit that lie. It's Michael Jordan. He was a leader. He led his team. He took his team to championships, 6-0 in the finals. LeBron, 3-5. And now you see he's on the Lakers team that's not a super team, and now he's conceding that the season is over. LeBron is one of the weakest so-called GOATs I have ever seen in my life.
That's obviously a discussion that people will have from now until the end of time, the differences with him and Michael Jordan and whether or not he deserves it. But I will say this, the era is different, Dre. So if you're a longtime fan of the NBA, maybe you're not anymore, you know that the eras are different. The rules have the rules and free agency have created ways for the game to not be as tough. And so therefore players don't have to be as tough. Now, he's still a freight train. He could still mow people down. He can still jam. He could play every game of the year if he wanted to. He's in phenomenal shape. The game itself does not require that same junkyard dog tough mentality.
Mm-mm. It really don't. like how he was tampering with Anthony Davis, man. I knew it. After he went out to lunch, I knew he was going to start trying to beg and make a super team. And now Davis acting weak. I can't stand the NBA. All these players trying to make super. And you know one thing I say? LeBron, they get mad at the super team, but he the one started the super team. And now he mad at Durant because he did it better than he did.
Well, I would say that the super team, at least this round of super teams, there have been some in the past, but going back to the Celtics with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, they kind of got together again. But then you think about LeBron and D. Wade and Chris Bosh, certainly, and that set off a whole much more recent wave of it. So I would agree with you there. It's a little bit of hypocrisy. Dre, thank you so much for your phone call.
All right.
I don't know, though, that I've heard LeBron complain too much about Kevin Durant going to Golden State, though he has talked about how that team, a team like that with that many All-Stars, is nearly unbeatable. All right, so there's a lot of you weighing in about the Kaepernick situation, the report that he turned down $20 million to, no, I'm sorry, he asked for $20 million. I was doing a couple of different things there at one time. Not so great at multitasking this hour. He was asking for $20 million to be able to play in the AAF, and that was a non-starter for this baby league. And so you can find us either on Twitter or Facebook. That's fine. We'll try to get through some of your comments. But while you are on our social media, please vote for the After Hours Hall of Fame induction.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
LeBron's got it on the left wing.
You know he's pulling up against Kyrie.
Kyrie's on him. LeBron dribbles left. LeBron dribbles it off his foot. Lost it. Saved by KCP. Back to LeBron. Three-pointer for the tie. It's good. We're tied at 124. 49 seconds remaining in the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mercifully for the Los Angeles Lakers, the All-Star break is here, and LeBron James reportedly is heading out of the country for a couple of days before he has to return to Charlotte for the All-Star festivities. It's actually the Currys who are taking over Charlotte, the host of this year's All-Star weekend. I always think that the celebrity presence around the All-Star game is fun. Certainly does seem to attract a lot of big names in the music and entertainment industry. And the NBA does a really good job of making it a show. So I usually watch the starting lineups and then I'm out. I watch the pomp and circumstance, the national anthem, all the hoopla leading up to the actual tip off of the game, and then I turn it off. But I do like the fact that it's one of those weekends where you want to be seen, so it's really popular outside of the world of the NBA a lot more than any of the other All-Star weekends. So if you missed my conversation with our Warriors insider, who is actually in Charlotte to cover this whole Curry takeover, he told us in our first hour that Curry has 100 ticket requests from family and friends. Essentially, he's going to be filling one entire section with his own family and friends, which is crazy. But I mean, that's where he's from. Essentially, he played college at Davidson, not that far away. His dad, of course, Del Curry, is there in Charlotte and was really popular. So it'll be fun to see that component of All-Star Weekend. If you miss Connor Letourneau here on the show, you can catch it on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line. Some of you are asking me, if the AAF is not associated with the NFL, then why do you have phrases like this? The Salt Lake City team is affiliated with the Green Bay Packers. It's convoluted, but I'll explain it this way. It's about the teams from which the AAF can recruit players. Okay, so they don't want all 8 teams in the AAF going after the same group of guys. So they're targeting players that were on practice squads, that were in training camp with NFL teams, guys that don't have deals with NFL teams, but have that kind of talent and maybe would like to showcase it to get back to the NFL, or maybe they're just not good enough to be in the NFL. So this is their next step. So it's not about the affiliation or being a minor league team. It's about the AAF essentially divided the NFL into regions, and those are the teams from which they can draw players. Okay, so if there are players that are eligible, again, they were in training camp, they didn't make the roster. The Salt Lake team has a few NFL teams where it can look for talent. Right, it doesn't mean the Packers are feeding that talent. In fact, guys who are under contract in the NFL can't play in the AAF. That would be against their contract. But it's about the AAF and its recruiting regions, and as opposed to being allowed to recruit players from all over the country, they break it up into geographical regions and a few NFL teams per AAF club. Hopefully, that makes sense. It's really complicated. When I read it, I had to read it more than once to understand it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Bill reminds me on Facebook. Duh, I can't believe I forgot this. And I already have planned my Sunday afternoon around watching the Daytona 500. It's one of my favorite Sundays of the year. So yes, coming up this Sunday as competition for the AAF is NASCAR Super Bowl, the Daytona 500. So thank you so much for reminding me of that. While you're on our social media weighing in about Colin Kaepernick and this report that he turned down the AAF because the league wasn't interested in paying him $20 million, please vote for the Hall of Flame, and you'll hear those candidates coming up about 35 minutes from now. 855-212-4227. Oh, John Ireland is the voice of the Lakers radio network. Steven is in Washington State. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
So first I want to touch on Kaepernick. I think it's kind of funny how everyone's sitting here talking about, like, he's good, he's bad, you know, he can play football, he can't play football. He signed a $20 million deal with Nike. I'm pretty sure in the commercials and all that stuff, they signed a contract with him that basically said, yo, listen, you can't play football again. We're going to have you be basically a martyr for your cause. And, you know, you can say whatever you want about that, but you can't play football again. That's why he made this ridiculous, you know, $20 million compared to whatever those guys are making in the AAF. You know, he knew, he threw that offer out there with them saying, yeah, no, we're good on that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I still think that if the ultimate goal is to play football, then this is your best way to do it, right? So that's my entire point in bringing this up, is that he priced himself out, because there's no way, he had to know, there's no way that the AAF could afford this. His agents had to know there's no way the AAF could afford it, not to mention it would be blowing up their business model because of what they've already agreed to pay every player across the board. It feels like a pretty easy conclusion that while maybe he would take another job in the NFL, I guess we wouldn't know until one was offered to him, but he didn't feel like this was a means to an end, and maybe the end is not playing football again.
I agree with you, because you can't throw that kind of money out there with, you know, with that context and think you're going to get a job, you know. And then secondly, I want to talk about LeBron James and the criticism I think he gets. I think it's kind of hilarious how, you know, people want to talk about him and Michael Jordan and all that stuff. And it's like, no one ever brings into context, like, who coached Michael Jordan? People want to talk about Phil Jackson being the greatest coach of all time in NBA history. And it's like, okay, so who's LeBron James's best coach? Because as far as I can tell, it's been himself, which is a ton of pressure to put on, you know, your best player. It's like, not only are you our player, but you're also the best basketball mind we have in the room.
Well, okay, first of all, there's no coach who's going to say that LeBron is better at leading the team than he is. He just doesn't take coaching well. Now, maybe you don't think he needs a coach, but he's only the boss of him. He's not the boss of every other player on that team. And that's a bad dynamic. They don't have player coaches anymore for a reason. You need someone who can manage egos, who can manage playing time, and who can see the best way to put all of the guys on the team in the best position. It's a team sport. As much as it may not feel like that to anybody who watches LeBron play, it's a team sport. He cannot win alone. And teams need coaches because players are focused on what's best for them. Coaches are focused on what's best for the team, theoretically.
No, I totally agree with that. And that's okay. Why I'm asking, like, who is the best coach LeBron's had? Because I look at it and say, like, every coach I've seen that's come and gone with him, other than Spoelstra, you know, Spoelstra was just kind of a puppet for Pat Riley, you know, but...
You have some really interesting opinions.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen, but I've already left you on the air for 4 minutes, so I have to let you go. But I understand what you're saying. It can appear like that. I don't think any coach is going to cede the authority to LeBron James unless he absolutely has to or he gets fired. Thank you so much for your phone call. 855-212-4227. Gerald is in Houston. Welcome to After Hours.
Always happy to speak with you, Ms. Lawrence. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Let me, if I may address
football. Wait, is that me in the background?
I believe so.
Okay, I'm sorry. Could you turn that radio down, please?
I'm going to attempt to. I have my daughter with me over here, and she's listening.
Okay.
Okay. Right. I turned it down. Is that
cool.
Right?
Yes, that's better. Thank you.
Okay, let me say something. This gentleman is trying to stay relevant. And by asking for such an absorbent amount of money. Because the issue that he became famous for is not an issue as it was then. You know, police brutality is not like it was. And so he's just trying to stay relevant by asking for $20 million. Plus, he wasn't that good anyway. Now, this situation with LeBron, may I ask the question? Why do people disregard Red Auerbach and Bill Russell when they say Michael Jordan and his coach were the greatest coach and player? I mean, what happens when you get older? We just get thrown away like we're nothing?
No. It's a different era. I mean, it's all about the eras. It's about the competition. I think in many, many opinions, the competition is stiffer now. The athletes are bigger, faster, stronger. The game itself is different now, for better or for worse. It's just different eras, which is why I'm not even comfortable comparing the 80s and the 90s to what we have now, because the rules have changed so much that it's really about facilitating offense and scoring. What used to be, you know, a sport in which it was contact allowed and you could bang around in the post and the arm was part of the ball or the hand was part of the ball. I mean, now you can't even hand check. It's become ridiculous. I don't even like the current brand. And it's not just NBA, it's college basketball. Same thing. Far too many whistles. And so it's really more about that. It's not about getting old. And although I would say that there are a lot of people who watch today's NBA that never saw. I mean, I didn't see those guys play. So I only see it in videos and in what I read. But no, it's not about dismissing the old. I think it's oftentimes about what people have seen with their own eyes, but also about the different eras of the game.
Well, that's true. Now, Ms. Lawrence, before I leave, let me say this. In a few years, maybe 20 years from now, we're going to look back at what you were doing. And then they're going to say, well, this woman, Amy Lawrence, is pretty good, and this new individual come out. And, I mean, it's just that I feel that they disregard us and just throw us away as we get older. And that's the point that I'm making.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
I'm sure it does.
Because when I say... When I tell people about players like Connie Hawkins, who I saw play at 18 and 19, they say, oh, he wasn't that good. He's not as good as Michael Jordan. And I say to myself, I'm just frustrated.
I got you.
But I continue to listen, and thank you very much for letting me rant for a moment. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Gerald. Anytime. Thank you so much for your phone call. I mean, I understand what he's saying. Again, it's very often about what people have seen and what they haven't seen. I think Larry Bird's the greatest of all time, so how about that? But yeah, I mean, I didn't watch Bill Russell. I didn't watch Wilt Chamberlain. I didn't see those teams in the 60s. I didn't see Bob Cousy run full court. So I can understand why people who are watching today's NBA maybe didn't even see Michael Jordan play. It's easier for them to say that LeBron James is the greatest. To stand on that soapbox because they didn't see anything different. So, yeah, I mean, that's just human nature. I don't think it's meant to be an indictment of the old. Although my mom does tell me a lot of times that getting old sucks. She says it's hard because you do feel like you've gotten lost in the shuffle. Speaking of getting old, I spoke to my Grammy. I had this urge to call her. I had kind of a rough day on Thursday with my zoo. And so I decided talking to my Grammy on Valentine's Day would make me feel better. And she's doing well. There's a lot of snow in Wisconsin. She hasn't been outside in a month. I mean, she's left her room, but she lives in a complex. You know, she lives in a assisted living facility. She has her own apartment, but the cafeteria, mass, any bingo, anything she wants to do, there are hallways that are interconnected. She did tell me the story. They have a golden retriever who lives in this. There's like five buildings connected, and you just go from hallway to hallway. And apparently, in the great excitement in the dining room last week, is that the dog walked through. Not supposed to be in there. But Bella walked through, and there was a plate of food just sitting at a table where somebody had gotten up and left. So she helped herself. My grandma says she just sat there and laughed while the dog ate off the plate. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.